we've been in a month of vision. If you've been with us, then you've had three parts of our vision so far, which is we had blurry vision, we had focused vision, we had our vision as a church. I tell you, if you didn't see last week online, didn't hear it, didn't see the slides, didn't see the video, do yourself a favor, go check it out. God has done some incredible things, and he's still doing some incredible things. We give a bit of a backdrop to what he has done this last 6 to 12 months, and we give a bit of a faith forward thing. We said 2021, we're moving forward. God's called us to five big things of faith. We're going after those, and so if you haven't checked it out, make sure to do that. But today we're going to conclude our kind of vision series, and we're going to talk about my vision. What is your vision? What is your vision for the future? Because God has given each and every one of us a vision, and so I want us to think today, what is my vision? And so before we get into it, I want to pray today and ask the Holy Spirit just to come and enable us. So Holy Spirit, I just ask you that you would help us. Lord, we want to see the way you see. This is the point of this whole meeting, this whole month. Help me to see better. Lord, I pray today that you would help us to see better. I pray that we'd be able to see in ways that we've never done before, and not just earthly things, but spiritual things. And so right now, Holy Spirit, enable us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're talking about my vision. Come on. Have you ever had a dream to do something? Ever had a dream like you'd really love to do this, really love to do that? I remember years ago saying, you know, I want to be a footballer. You know, that was it. That was the be all and end all. And then when I was about 12, you know, we're in a tournament. I had the chance to win the whole tournament for the team. You know, the ball was going, and suddenly it didn't go over the line. And I was already busy celebrating. And I was like, oh my goodness. And for years, trust me, as a teenager, for years, 12, 13, 14, 15, I thought to myself, if only I'd have scored that winning goal, that would have been it. I would have been Premier League. I would have been footballer forever. It was just like, if only, if only, if only. After a few years, I kind of realized that, you know what, forget that dream. It's never going to happen. Then I said to myself, you know, go be a millionaire. That's the vision, going to be a millionaire. And now as time has went on, millionaire doesn't even seem that big of a deal. Everybody wants to be a billionaire. So I've given up on all of that because I've got a bit of sense now. And now I just want to have a life. You know, ever get to that point where you just want to have a life? Sometimes people can tell you, get a life. You know, it's nice to come to a point where you say, right, I'm going to get a life. I'm going to have a life. And maybe that's the point that you're at the moment. And you're getting practical in your life. You're getting practical maybe in your faith, because we're talking about faith today. And you're saying to yourself, right, good, what is my vision? What should my vision be about? What way should I live? Like, what should I do? What should I say? Where should I go? They're like the three big parts, aren't they? How you're going to live your life. Like, what am I supposed to do with my life? And today, you know what we're going to do. We're going to look at Jesus, because Jesus is the perfect example. He's the one who went before us to help us, to give us an example to follow. And when we check him out, it helps us and it enables us. So I want us to think about Jesus and what did he do? What was the practical steps that he took in his life? What was the way that he lived? And we said to ourselves, like, I want to be an example. I want to be like Christ. But what was his perspective? Because perspective helps us to see clearly. It's like when I get away, when I get far out perspective, it's like, wow, it didn't look as big as I thought. Whenever I take more time out, whenever I get like further out, I'm able to get a fresh perspective and it helps me to see clearer. And so today I want us to look at Jesus because his life is such a great example for us to follow. Here's what John 5:19 says. Then Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but whatever he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son will do in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. And so Jesus is in this position where he's just healed someone. The religious people of the day were not happy. It was the Sabbath. They thought he shouldn't. And he just literally comes back with us and he says, hey, if you've got a problem with what I do, you've got to turn to God. Because I only do what he tells me to do. That's the only thing I do. That's all my life is about. I literally just do what God wants me to do. Now, pause and think of that for a moment, because as Christians, this should be our ultimate goal as well. And this is why it gives us perspective. Like, when was the last time we literally said, every aspect of my day, Lord, I just want to do what you tell me to do. I want to follow you in always. It's not just like, God, why are you not helping me because I'm trying to do something and you're not here. It's literally, God, where am I supposed to go? God, I'm not moving till you tell me. I'm not going till you give me guidance. I'm not moving till you show me it's time to move. This is the way Jesus demonstrated his life. He goes on to say in John 8, verse 28, it says this, I do nothing of my own say, only what the Father taught me. So not only is it his actions, but it's even his words. I won't say a single word unless the Father tells me what to say. Could you imagine? how many arguments this would save, how many grudges, how many issues, how many problems for anybody, never mind politicians, never mind your bosses, but just for you in general. If every word that you spoke was guided by God, oh my gosh, that just sounds incredible. Sounds incredible hard work, eh? It sounds like you'd have to be praying constantly. What did Paul say? You should pray without ceasing. You see, when God calls us closer, he calls us to a life of surrender. And when we surrender everything, we simply say, look, I don't want to live anymore. I only want to live through him. I want him to tell me. I want him to guide me. This is the life that Jesus is showing us. He's showing us a life that was totally laid down to serve only the Father. Wow. So what's my vision? I'm starting to get convicted already. What about you? What's his vision is really my vision. That's the heart of the kingdom. Jesus said, I got a vision, but what's his vision? His vision becomes my vision. That's why the psalmist tells us that he gives us the desires of our hearts, not because we can tell God what to do, but when we get close to him, suddenly our hearts become his hearts, and we start to step together. We start to walk together. It's less about, what should I do next, God? What should I do next, God? I'm fully surrendered to him, and so I only ever do the will of the Father. I only ever say what he wants me to say. I only ever do what he wants me to do. This is what Jesus is showing us. I will only do your will, God. I will only follow you. And here's the other side of it. I'm not about my ideas and I'm not about my ambitions. Wow. Now think about this. Think how much time we spend on our ideas and dreaming. And I love ideas and I love coming up with ideas. But think about this. Now, Jesus, every idea and every ambition that he had, it was always under the surrender of what's God want me to do? What's my Father calling me to do? And then within that, he can have his dreams and visions. But God, I want them to be ordained by you. I want them to be divinely inspired by you. God, I only want to go your ways. Come on, teach me, Lord. Just direct me, guide me. This is the heart of Jesus. This is our hearts if we fully surrender to him as well. And here's what I find is that when you start to think about this stuff, you go to yourself, well, that's really extreme. Like, are you for real that this is the way that we gotta live? And I'm like, yeah, this is the most extreme way to live. Forget about boring Christianity. If you're really walking with God and following God, then it's radical. It's incredibly radical. Jesus was the most radical person to ever live. He laid down his life for the whole world. Imagine that. He literally turned the other cheek when someone would do something wrong. He would forgive when it shouldn't be the right thing to forgive. He would show mercy instead of hold unforgiveness. He would give grace when it wasn't deserved. His life was a marvel. His life turned the world up. Upside down. He's the most radical person that's ever lived. And he's inviting us into this lifestyle as well. And he said, come on, I'm drawing you in. I'm daring you to come. This is it. This is the most exciting way to live. This is the only way to live. And that's what I want us to see today, that God has drawn us into a life of full surrender. Here's what I find, and this is the truth of it. I've never met anybody who's fully surrendered their lives and ever regretted it afterwards when they've done it to God. I've never met anybody. I don't think there's been anyone past, present, and I don't think there'll be anyone in the future that will have laid down their whole lives in the pursuit of God and then turn around at the end of it and goes, I regret it. And now why is that? Because you're serving a perfect God who is so perfect that has no agenda of his own. Now think about this for a moment. He has no agenda of his own. He's not out to try to get something out of you. He's not out to try to prove something through you. He's not out to try and make himself better. He's not out to abuse you or hurt you. He's simply out to benefit you in all forms and all ways because he needs nothing back in return. Now imagine that in our friendships. Imagine that when we are with people and how sometimes, even though we don't mean it, we kind of need that person to give us an advantage. We're using this person for that. We're encouraging them this way because it's a good advantage for us. It's a win-win. We tell ourselves it's going to be win-win. But for God, he literally laid down his son. And for Jesus, he literally laid down his life because his perfect love towards us, it's unconditional. It is absolutely incredible. And the reason why it's so good is because he gives it without agenda. He gives it without needing anything back. And so the invitation today is, what would it look like if we laid our lives totally down in full surrender to him? What would that be like? And could that be even possible? And would that be possible? And what would that be like? And so I want us to look at Jesus today and go a tiny bit further into his life to give us that encouragement to keep going. Here's what the way Jesus lived. When he lived his way, it meant that God's will was always done. When he lived after the things of God, it meant that God's way was always taken care of. And here's the two big outcomes that we see from his life, because we got to look at the fruit. And the two big, just incredible pieces of fruit, I mean, two big fruit trees, whatever it is, but just two big, incredible pieces of fruit that came from Jesus' life was, number one, he fulfilled all the commandments and more. They came to Jesus one time, and this is what they asked him. Matthew 20. 22:37, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God." They asked him, like, what's the greatest commandment? Like the Ten Commandments, can we really keep all 10? And Jesus comes back and he says, this is the greatest commandment, and the next one is super important as well. He brings them all together in these two. He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This doesn't sound too easy, in fact. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. This was the outworking of Jesus' life. Not only did he show it, but he lived it. And I want to encourage you today that as you would surrender to him, suddenly his will be done through you. And you won't have to do this in your own strength. In fact, you couldn't do this in your own strength. I mean, who can in their own strength love God with all their heart? I mean, come on, you know, your heart is full of all sorts of stuff. Like, I love all sorts of stupid stuff, good stuff, even bad stuff gets in there, and I'm like, God, get that out. That's just no good for me. But imagine your whole heart and your whole soul and your whole mind, like every thought, every part of you, every bit of your heart, every part of your emotions just sold out to God. There's just no way to do that in your own strength. But yet when we do it through him, we can do it through his strength, his grace, his will, and it will enable us and help us in every form. So I want to encourage you today. That's the first and greatest commandment. This is the fruit of Jesus' life as he laid down in full surrender to the Father. And the second one is so important. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law of all the prophets demands this. It all hinges on this. You see, when we got the Ten Commandments, we had to try to live up to them. We never quite could. We're going to look at the children of Israel later. But they never could quite keep up to date with the Ten Commandments. Like every time they would mess up, more sacrifice, mess up, more sacrifice. It was impossible to stay perfect because the law demanded perfection. And of course, the only way to perfect the law, or the only way to answer the call of the perfection of the law, was Jesus. And that's why the perfect one came. And when Jesus came, he satisfied the full weight of the law. But guess what he did then? He didn't destroy the law. He stood on top of it. He said, okay, I'm going to believe that my people, through my strength, are going to do greater things. This is the truth of the good news of every Bible-based New Testament believer, that we can become radical. Whereas before you had to actually physically do it, now it's just a thought in your heart or a rogue thought in your mind, and already you're complicit in the act because God is calling us to greater things. He's saying, I'm not putting more pressure on you. I'm just calling you to even greater things. I'm calling you to greatness because now I am in you. Now my spirit is available to you. Now you will do greater things than me. Now that I am with you, watch what we can do together. And so God is saying this not as a weight around our neck, but it's like a target for what we can go after, and it's an attainable target in Christ, where we say, come on, with my whole heart, I'm going to love him. With my whole soul, I'm going to love him. With my whole mind, I'm going to love him. And I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. In fact, I'm going to come third, and it's going to be okay because God is with me, and it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be amazing. Trust me, Jesus lived the most exciting, full life that anyone has ever lived. Why wouldn't we want to go after what he had? Why wouldn't we try to get there? He had total oneness with God, and he had total oneness in his heart. And here's the trick. When you get total oneness in your heart with God, then suddenly every action becomes his action. It's just the way you live. It's just the way you go. And the second thing was, and you know this one because you've read the scripture, if you hadn't get into it, the Gospels is just incredible with this. Jesus literally turned the world upside down. When you live fully surrendered to God, fully surrendered to the Father, he knows how to create chaos, but love chaos. Incredible chaos, like incredible chaos that sees people's lives restored, that sees miracles, signs, and wonders. Now think of what the world that we're living in right now. It is upside down, but not with love, but with fear. With fear. And it's radical, and it's real, and it wants to kill people, and it wants to disable people, and immobilize people. And maybe even right now, you're feeling like overwhelmed with fear. Can I just interject right now and just tell you that his perfect love casts out all fear? And the only way to live is fully surrendered to God. And if we live like that, suddenly every fear disappears, and suddenly we are full of his love, and we can live like Christ in every way. This is not impossible. This is more than possible. And today, I need to encourage your heart. God is with you. The Holy Spirit wants to walk with you, and he wants to fill you. He says, hey, if you will just say yes, if the motivation of your heart will just be to go for me and just say yes to me, watch how I will enable you and help you. You won't have to live alone any longer. You won't have to try to do this on your own. We will do this together, and you will do incredible things. Now, why is this whole thing possible? This whole thing is possible because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now think about this. I'm calling us to radical surrender. I'm calling us to a place where we literally lay down every thought and every word that we say, and we filter it all through God, and we say, look, I'm only going to say and do all the things that God's called me to. I'm not going to live any way, other way. This is radical. But why? Because we've seen the outworkings of this on the cross. When Jesus went and he demonstrated pure love through the form of incredible surrender. I'm going to tell you, whenever we fully surrender, whenever we fully submit to God, watch how this love just comes forth from us and it eradicates darkness in every form. When Jesus went to the cross and it was an act of pure love, dedicated with full surrender, when he did that, what happened? Darkness was destroyed forevermore. The power of darkness was destroyed. Like sin was destroyed, death was destroyed, the enemy was destroyed. And yes, we still live in a fallen world, but it has no hold on us any longer. It has lost its sting. It has lost its power. And now we are the powerful ones in Christ. And he says, hey, the same things that I did, you're going to do too. This is the call of Jesus on our lives. It's not that we live boring lives or we live mediocre lives or we just try to get through. He says, I want you to live radical. I want you to live full. And I want you to live my vision, not your vision. My vision becomes my vision. His vision becomes our vision. It's incredible. And suddenly everything changes. This is what becomes normal. Signs, wonders, and miracles just become normal because they follow Jesus everywhere. Seeing people saved and delivered is just normal. It's just, we see it everywhere. I tell you what I want to see more of is so much more of this. And I know that the way to get more of this is to be more surrendered to him, where we only do what he calls us to do, where we only say what he asks us to say. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit gets to move and the Holy Spirit gets to fill and he gets to move and do incredible things, not only in our lives, but in the world around us. This is what our world is crying out for. In a world that is hopeless, in a world that is lost, in a world that has no future, and in a world that is stuck for direction, when we have the Holy Spirit, we cannot keep him to ourselves. We cannot keep him as a luxury item. Do you remember when I'm a Celebrity's on right now, and people are complaining because it doesn't feel the same as it used to feel, and it's different and all of this stuff. I mean, I don't even watch it. I don't even like the show, but if you love it, go for it. But I know everybody gets a luxury item. I mean, we've got a luxury item in the Holy Spirit, but do you know what? He's not luxury. He's actually essential. The world needs him. We need him, and he's the only one that's going to draw us fully to the Father. He's the only one that's going to fully draw us to Jesus. He's the only one that's going to enable us in all ways to walk like him. And so he wants to guide us, he wants to lead us, and he wants to reveal all truth to us. You need filled. I need filled with the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. So invite him to come today in Jesus' name. You see, every part of darkness was destroyed at the cross. All power was taken from it. And now it's still there and it's still active, but we cannot be distracted from our cause, and our cause is to be fully surrendered to him and to see a world turns upside down with love. So here's our challenge. What if our vision became like Jesus? What if our vision became like his, where we said, you know what? I want to follow after God and God only. What if our vision became like his? What if we said, look, Jesus, you are my vision. You're the only one that I want to serve. Here's what will happen. We will completely surrender to God. We will completely surrender to God. We will lay down our lives to God. We will live this full life that he promises. We will be able to step forth and love him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. We will be able to lay down our lives for our neighbors and our friends because he will enable us and he will help us. And the reward and the fullness in our lives will be unspeakable. It will be incredible. We will be overflowing with joy. So I'm going to invite you today to be a radical New Testament believer and to say yes to Jesus in every form. Okay, I want us to look at what Jesus did and his life, just even for a moment, to say, like, how did he do this? Because this just seems like, wow, way out there. How can I get there? Well, number one, he had no selfish ambitions or thoughts of himself. Wow. I mean, just even think about that just for a moment. Like all the ideas that we have, all the plans, he submitted them all to God. It's like, God, if these happen, they happen, but I actually want to know yours so I'm not disappointed with mine because I know yours are far better. That's really what he said. Number two, he always overflowed with grace. He just had this grace flow in him. It's like every person he came with, it was like, I don't need something out of you so I can treat you right. I don't need you to feel bad to make me feel better. I've got grace for you. I don't care if you've frustrated me 100 times. How many times you were supposed to forgive the disciples last one time? He said 70 times seven. It's like it's just over and over and over and over again because I'm overflowing with grace. So I don't need to get a short fuse with you. I don't need to let you get on top of me. I don't need you to let me overbear me because I am full of his grace. And think about this. As he was full of his grace, he knew pain, he knew suffering, he knew rejection, he knew beating, he knew all of those feelings because he felt them from his disciples, his very closest guys let him down, turned their backs on him, just went different ways, said different things. They didn't seem to get it. I mean, Jesus felt everything that we felt, and yet he still kept going strong, and he never knew any lack. This is the incredible reality of Jesus, that he never knew any lack, because his lack, his fullness didn't come from the things around him. His fullness came from his Father. Wow. Now think on this just for a moment. His fullness came from his Father, so he knew no lack. What would our lives look like if we were just directed by the Father, if his love, if his Spirit was just fully working through us and we were fully surrendered to him? What would we not have? What would we be short of? What would we lack? We wouldn't lack anything in any form. And the last thing I want to just pull out just for this moment with Jesus is that he was fully positioned as a son, and he always stayed there. He always stayed there. Now, this is just incredible. He always stayed there. Think about the times when we know that we're sons of God and we just get distracted this way, or you know you're a daughter of God but you go this thing and you say this thing and you do this thing. But Jesus was committed to stand fully as a son. He says, I'm not leaving this position for any time at all. I'm not leaving this at all. And I want to encourage us today that we are sons of God, that we are daughters of God, and he's saying, hey, never leave that position. Don't get pulled away from it. Don't lose hope or get distracted from it. Don't let the enemy pull you from that position. This is who you are. This is where you should live. This is where you should move from. And from that position of strength, you will do incredible things. See, this life is possible. It will take everything. Come on, we got to be real. This life is possible. It will take everything, but it will be worth it. So what's our decision today? What is our decision? What will we do? I want to go back to the Old Testament. I want to go to Joshua 24, and we're going to look at the children of Israel. And the journey of the children of Israel is really a lot like our journey, isn't it? We were in slavery. We were in bondage to sin. They were in bondage to Pharaoh. They had no way out. A savior came in the form of Moses. He rescued them. He took them out. They complained a bit. They moaned if this was better. They thought it would be better to go back there. They kept going. They kept going. They kept going. But all the while, God was with them, and he helped them, and he was supernatural in his supply, and he was always there for them. And they come to this point where they're just about to go to the promised land because he said, I'm giving you a land flowing of milk and honey. I'm bringing you from a terrible place to a blessed place. And they were right there after 40 years. It should have been less than a two-week walk, but it took them 40 years to get there because people are funny like we are funny. And that first generation never quite made it. Even Moses never quite made it. And then Joshua comes, and he's the new guy. He's the new leader. And he says, hey, come follow me. And there were still some that decided to not go across because of, I don't know why. We are a peculiar people. But for those that went across, they went into the promised land. They went to that land that God had promised. They stepped into that fullness. And I want to encourage your heart. We all have a choice to make. We all have a decision to make. What are we going to do with the life that God's given us? What are we going to do with our vision? What are we going to do with our lives? What way are we going to live? And I want to say to you, make a decision. Make it a yes or make it a no, but if you can, make it a yes and allow the Lord to direct you. And so we're going to pick up the story with Joshua where he speaks to his people and he's literally about to say, hey, it's time to rededicate. We're coming now. We're coming right into this promised land. We are right here. What way are we going to live? What are we going to show our future generations? Because this is not just about us. What are we going to show our children? What way are we going to live? And this is what he says in Joshua 24, 14 to 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors that they worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. It's time to turn around. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, you've got a choice. You choose yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites. In whose land are you going to live? But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is what Joshua said. He says, look, I'm your leader, but you you've got to make your decision now. I've brought you this far, but for you to go to the next place, for you to live this full life, for you to go to the next place in Christ, you've got to decide. You've got to fully surrender. You've got to make this choice. It's the same for us today. What will you do in your family? What will you do for your house? Because Joshua was the leader of these guys, and he said, as for me and my house, and he's trying to speak to the people. He's trying to lead the way. He's saying, for me and my family, this is what we're going to do. Here's my strong suggestion for you. I'm still your leader. I'm going to tell you what you should do, but you've got to make your mind up. And I'm telling you today as a leader what you should do, but you've got to make your mind up. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He says these words and he freshly dedicates his life to say, I surrender everything to God. As for me and my house, we're going his way and no other way. Joshua makes a choice. The people, they were mixed all over the place. They were mixed up with this. They were mixed up with this, with that. They had small gods with small g's. They had the big God, and they didn't know who to go for. And this day, he says, I challenge you. It's time to make a decision. Today, I want to challenge you. It's time to make a decision. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to follow? I want it to be a full commitment. God's urgent for it to be a full commitment. He says, I want your whole life. Would you lay it down before me? Everyone before this for 40 years had drifted. What about your life? Has it been drifting? Come on, let's just be real for a minute. Has it been drifting? Has it been going strange places? Has your faith been drifting in this last season? If it has, why not get a fresh anchor? Why not pray? Why not ask God? Why not pray to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me to stabilize. Help me to get back on course. Help me to move forward again. I mean, here's the way drifting works. It either happens intentionally or unintentionally. It either happens by design or by accident. But whatever way it happens, let's say no to it any longer. And let's be like the children of Israel. We simply say to ourselves, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. See, here was their choice. And we've got to ponder our choice. Verse 16, the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us from and our parents up from Egypt, from the land of slavery, and performed those great signs before our eyes. They start to think back of what the Lord has done. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. They start to make a better choice. They start to make a better decision. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. They all made a decision, but essentially what they made was a promise. When we say this to God, hopefully you're going to make a fresh decision to God. You're going to make a fresh dedication to God today. And you're going to say, God, look, there's more of me that I can give. I want to radically surrender to you. This is the only way I want to go. Well, essentially what we're going to do is we're going to make a promise, isn't it? We're going to make a promise in our hearts, and we're going to make a commitment with our actions. We're going to say, God, I want to give you all my heart. I want to give you all my soul. I want to give you all my words. We're going to simply step into the shoes of Jesus, what he did. We're going to say, hey, everything that I do, every word that I say, I want it to be ordained by you. I want it to be centered on you. I want it to be about you. God, would you lead me? Holy Spirit, would you help me? You see, the promise they made that day was that in every place, but in our homes especially, in every part of our homes, we want to honor you, God. We want to honor you in every aspect. And so for you today, it can be your physical home. And so you're making a decision for your family. As for me and my family, this is what we're going to do. We're going to honor the Lord, and I'm going to help it. Now, you can't control your kids. You can't control your family, but you can live in such a way that is honorable to God in every action, in every thought, in every way that you go. And that can have a lasting impact on our friends and family. And so we make a decision to say, right, as for me in my house, my life, you know, the wherever I go, I'm going to serve the Lord in my actions, in my thoughts, in my ways. And I need him to clean me up, because there's certain thoughts of mine, no good. There's certain actions of mine, no good. There's certain ways of mine that are no good. Holy Spirit, I need you to clean me up. God, I need you to clean me up. I want to fully surrender afresh to you. And I think if we're all being true, then we all have some things that we need to freshly give over to God, and he's going to take care of them. See, lastly, how do we honor God? I just want to give us this for the last couple of minutes. How do we honor God with our lives? What if we want our vision to become his vision? What if my vision, I want it to be his vision? What if we just say to ourselves, you know what, I'm done with my vision. I just want it to be God. God, only you. Like, how do we honor God with our lives? How does that practically work itself out? Because I need some help. Well, let me give you a quick three today, or three to finish with. Number one's our faith. I mean, how do we honor God? Number one, it's our faith. Bible teaches us that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, I can't even know Him. Without faith, I can't live. Without faith, I can't go forward in the things of God, because I can't feel Him. I can't touch Him. I mean, I have a sense that He's there, but I do all of that by faith. I can see His evidence everywhere. I can see the reality of Him everywhere. But again, I've got to utilize faith. And you say, well, I'm not a person of faith. I'm going to suggest to you that everybody's a person of faith. You either choose to believe in God or not. You either choose to say there is nothing out there, which is still a belief. It's still a faith, because you've no way to prove it. Who can prove anything? Everything is by faith. We can prove to a certain degree. And then when it gets to a certain place, we're like, well, I'm not sure about that. I've got so far back, and then I'm not sure. I'm going to encourage you to put your faith in Jesus alone. If you've already done that, continue to do so, but to give Him more. Number one, you've got to give Him your faith. You've got to give Him your faith. Number two, it's our worship. And this is a big one. And this is a big one, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian. What you worship, what gets your time, what gets your money, whatever gets your worth and value is what you worship. Whatever gets your worship, it gets your heart. And God says today, if you want to honor Me with your home, if you want to honor Me with your life, then demonstrate this to the people around you. Demonstrate to the people around you how you worship Me. You worship Me not just with song, not just with your Bible reading, but with your whole life. And your family can see it, and your friends can see it, and your boss can see it, and everybody can see it because of the way you worship. But please, let me tell you, it is not just what you sing, it's the way that you live. Every aspect of your life, the way you respond in an argument, the way you interact with a person you don't know, the way you interact with someone who's just offended you and hurt you, it's like every aspect of our lives, because we're fully surrendered to Him, it doesn't matter what happens from them, because He supplies all my needs, and I don't need them to feel bad to make me feel better. I don't need them to understand what they have done to me to make me feel better. I'm fully surrendered to Him. In fact, I died a long time ago because I led my life down, just like Jesus, to the Father. And so the only person that lives through me is Him. That's the heart of God. Number two is our worship. In every aspect, it's our worship if we want to honor God with our lives. And then finally, number three, it's our actions. And this is what I love about it. It's like our faith leads us to our worship, and our worship leads us to our actions. Whenever you have your faith, your worship, and you come to your actions, I mean, it's inevitable. You're going to act and be like Christ. If your faith is on Him, if your heart is on Him, if your worship is on Him, if your time is on Him, if your value is on Him, then watch how your actions just follow. This is the thing about God. You don't have to do and keep up with laws. You don't have to do X, Y, and Z to prove your love to Him. When you worship Him and honor Him and love Him and have faith in Him, He enables you in every other way. Every other way. This is not a gospel of religion. This is a gospel of relationship. And as He's with us, He helps us, supplies us, sustains us, and enables us. And suddenly you're like, wow, I can't believe how nice I'm being. You know what I mean? Yeah, I can't believe how I responded in love then. I can't believe I didn't say what I normally say. I can't believe I'm different now. It'll be incredible. It'll be like, wow, something's happening inside of me. And you'll be able to testify. You'll be able to confess, wow, He's doing something inside of me that I'm not in control of any longer, because I put my faith in Him, I put my worship in Him, and now my actions are just following. You see, when we do that, then we honor God with our lives. We honor God with our lives, and we honor Him before others so that they can see Him in us. And this is the call of every Christian. This is the call of every person who follows Christ, that they will know us by our words. They will know us by our actions. They will know us by the way that we love and the way that we love Him. So it's time to be bolder. I'm going to encourage you today. It is time to be bolder. It is time to lay down our life. In fact, here's what I want to say. It's time to sell out on everything else and be totally sold out to Him. He's the only one that's worth it. He's the only one that counts. And so what's your life going to be about today? What's your life going to be about tomorrow? What's your life going to be for the next decade, for the next whatever amount of time that you have left, 20, 50, 60 years? What's it going to be about? Is it your vision or His vision? I'm going to encourage you that the only way to live is His vision, and it's sold out. Is it radical? Absolutely. It is the most radical, extreme way to live. A Christian on fire for Jesus, living like Christ. Come on, church, we're going to rise up. This is our time to rise. There are so many things to moan about, so many things to complain about, but now is our time to rise, because a hopeless world needs hope, and we have hope bursting from us. A hopeless world needs light. A dark world needs light, and we have light bursting from us. And a world that just knows unforgiveness and knows pain and knows suffering needs radical grace, and we have unspeakable joy and unspeakable grace bursting from us. It is time to sell out on everything else and be totally sold out on Christ. Come on, we're going to pray today. Lord, I just thank you for everybody that's tuned in. Lord, I pray for a moment that we can just ponder and just be real with our hearts. Lord, if we're not right with you, if we are far from you, if we don't know you, then right now I'm pleading with anybody who needs to come to Jesus that you would do that today. Lord, I pray right now you're just convicting their hearts. Holy Spirit, just enable them to hear from you, enable them to respond to you. And I pray that they would get the courage and they would just get the boldness to go, do you know what? I'm not perfect. I don't know if I'll ever be perfect. I don't know if I'll ever be right, but I just want to say yes to Jesus because I know that's the way to go now. And so I pray right now for anybody saying yes, Lord, that you would be faithful to take away their sins, give them a brand new start. Lord, let them know that they have a new future and a new home in heaven, and that right now you are making them a son and daughter of the living God, and you're going to help them and enable them in all ways. Lord, I just speak blessing upon blessing on their hearts right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for those that know you, and I pray for those that have said yes to you. Lord, what way are we living? What way are we living towards you? Is it half-hearted? Is it a bit in, a bit out? What way is it? Because Lord, I pray in these days that we would realize that we've got to live sold out. Lord, I don't want any other vision if it's not yours. I don't want any other dream if it's not yours. I don't want any other ambition if it's not yours. God, I want to live extreme for you. I want to live like Christ. It's the only way to live. I pray, Holy Spirit, that right now you would fill us with your confidence, your boldness, your love, and that you would remove all aspects of us and just fill us with more of you. Lord, help us to every day surrender every part of our hearts, our minds, and our lives to you. And I pray that we would honor you. I pray, Lord, in those famous words of Joshua, that we would say the same about our family and our lives. And we would say, as for me and my life, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all you're doing. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to bless every heart and every life in your precious name. Amen.